Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody with us. We're feeling giddy around here, positively giddy. It's the show where we don't take calls, but we do count calories. Count calories, yes. I just want to get this out there. I think counting calories dehumanizes food. It turns food into just a pile of calories. And it takes all the fun out of it. Is what it did. But well, let's get back to that. I'll come back to that later because I know why you tuned in. I know why you tuned in. It's because there's nothing on television and radio because George Bush died. And it's just a 24-hour worship fest for George H.W. Bush, and you're desperate for anything besides another story about what a great guy George W. H.W. Bush is. He's such a great, wonderful, humanitarian human being. Touching, all right. Let's get to the open here, folks. Last week, we opened with some upbeat, positive news. You remember that that American jets bombed at least 50 Al-Qaeda terrorists straight to Allah and the fires of hell and all that. Let's see, it wasn't Boko Haram. Which one was it? It was the other one, the Nigerian one. Wow. I get them confused. Not the Taliban, that's Afghanistan. That's who I'm going to talk about now. Anyway, we bombed some terrorists there in Africa, some Muslim terrorists. But this week, last week I should say, as it's Sunday, the first day of the week, Last week, three American soldiers were killed in a Taliban bombing out in Afghanistan. I've got a report here from the New York Times. There was a roadside bomb that killed three of our special forces. And here's what got me about the story. Our special forces were sent to save the city of Ghazni from falling to the Taliban, which means cities in Afghanistan are falling to the Taliban. Rumors that we won the war in Afghanistan have been slightly exaggerated, apparently. Here we are, 17 years later, and still. I just want to remind everyone, Barack Obama declared an end to American combat operations in Afghanistan in 2014. I'll link this story up. It's the New York Times going on and on about why is it that this war drags on for so long. And there's some good points in the Times story, but I think it's Afghanistan. I think Afghanistan is somehow, well, anyway, it's very difficult. And then, yeah, well, I don't want to talk too much about it. Let's move on. Let's go deeper into the war file where we have a federal agent who is going to go on trial because she was having an affair with a Middle Eastern terrorist who she was tasked with investigating and possibly capturing, but instead she fell in love with him. Uh-huh. Latrice Malika Dabrul Daniels fell in love with Nadal Dia. Nadal Dia is a Middle Eastern terrorist charged with using fake travel documents. Leatrice. Oh, this is difficult. Leatrice Malika Dabrul Daniels is the federal agent's name. She's a 45-year-old Lonely Hearts Club girl. And she's free on bond, awaiting trial. She's living at her mom's house. So she went from federal agent investigating terrorists to waiting for trial at her mom's house. Why? Because she had an affair with a terrorist. She's been charged with attempting to obstruct, influence, or impede justice. And she's been on indefinite suspension since May of this year when it was discovered that instead of investigating Nadal Dia, she was warning him that he was under investigation, that he might be captured. Prosecutors are still trying to extradite Dia. He's in Toronto, and for whatever reason, the Canadians won't give him up. I don't understand. So, folks, this is why in years past, when we lived in a sane country, this is why, number one, single women were not federal agents ever. This is one reason. So, number two, this is why even a whiff or of suspicion of any type of romantic vulnerability would have eliminated someone from being considered to be a federal agent, and certainly from being put on the case of a known terrorist, especially a really good-looking one like Nadal Dia. Very good-looking and quite the romantic there. But now we have single women are federal agents. And folks, I said a whiff of suspicion of any type of vulnerability. So just being a single woman is enough of a vulnerability that she shouldn't be a federal agent tasked with tracking down extremely good-looking, very romantically oriented terrorists. So we don't live in a sane world anymore, but we do live in a world where everybody feels equal. Leatrice feels very equal. I can do anything a boy can do. That's just great. So thank you very much for that. Whatever the pile of lawyers and attorneys, proctors, thank you to the proctocracy in general for inflicting Leatrice Malika de Brule Daniels upon us. What are you going to say about it? It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing is what it is. All right, let's see. What do we want to talk about? The earthquake in Alaska? You know who's bummed out are the Alaskans. Right? They have an earthquake that rips their roads in half. Nobody talks about it because they're all obsessed with George H.W. Bush. The Alaskans are like, wait a second. Things are still shaking here. I got glass all over my house, for crying out loud. All you want to do is talk about a guy who's dead, and he's been dead for 24 hours, and he's still dead. 24 hours from now, he'll still be dead. So how is that news? Could we just move on, please? Oh, yeah, George H.W. Bush. We'll talk about his legacy. But I want to send out our thoughts and prayers to all of our listeners up in Alaska, especially our Alaska Bureau up there where we get a lot of reports. We checked in with our Alaska Bureau. The Weekly Worldview team in Alaska there is relatively unscathed, although there's a lot of broken glass. And agents at the Weekly Worldview Alaska Bureau said it was the worst earthquake they'd ever felt, and they'd felt a few. They'd felt their fair share, I'd say. All right, what else is going on in the world? The French are burning Paris down. And it's not the Muslims this time. Now, we're all familiar with the New Year's Eve tradition that started in Paris and France in general since mass migration began about 20 years ago. They have the annual burning of the cars. So anyway, I see what's going on. I'm wondering, is this the same annual burning of the cars that the Muslim teenagers do, or is this something different? Turns out the French have inflicted a new gasoline tax on their citizenry to combat climate change. And what's unfortunate is nobody had calculated all the burning cars in the streets of Paris into the whole climate change calculus. Because that not only does that increase surface temperature, from what I understand, it also releases harmful particulates into the air. And so, anyway, a butterfly waves its wings over a car fire in Paris. Next thing you know, Miami's underwater. I mean, well, whatever, okay. Maybe that wasn't that funny of a joke? I thought that was a pretty funny joke, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer, who was distracted. She was distracted looking at a low-calorie recipe, is what happened. No, we'll get back to the calories here in a minute, but we're grateful that everyone in Alaska is okay. We're really sorry that now even the skinny, pale white kids in Paris are burning cars over the gasoline tax. It's horrible. They damage the Arc de Triomphe. I haven't been able to see pictures of it, but the reportage is that the Arc de Triomphe was damaged, vandalized, brutalized, maybe burned. I don't know what's going on. It's awful. Just terrible. What else is going on in the world? Scaramucci. Do I want to even get into this? What's our time clock look like? I guess I can do Scaramucci. I had a loved one of mine. We were sitting in the living room minding our own business. We weren't looking for any trouble or anything like that. When Anthony Scaramucci's mug comes on the TV as the TV was tuned to Fox News. Scaramucci came on, and my loved one said, "What do you think of Anthony Scaramucci?" And I said, "I think he's a total schlemiel. He's a moron and a bozo." And that was the end of the conversation. So anyway, we didn't talk about the Mooch much after that, but Mooch is out defending Jeffrey Epstein. Well, he's not. He's defending Alexander Acosta. But in a backhanded way, he's defending Jeffrey Epstein. So if you read the Miami Herald article this past week, I will link to that just in case you haven't seen it. Because if you haven't read that, you have to read that. Because it should be the biggest scandal in the news. It would even knock George H.W. Bush off the top, knock him right out of his casket when he's lying in state there. That's how big of a scandal this should be. But it's not. Anyway, the deal is the Miami Herald reports that the labor secretary, Donald Trump's labor secretary, Alexander Acosta, who was allegedly, he was supposed to prosecute a billionaire hedge fund manager named Jeffrey Epstein. Why? Because Jeffrey Epstein molested maybe 1,000 underage girls. Maybe 1,000, and I'm not exaggerating. It definitely could be 1,000 girls that he abused. But instead of prosecuting him, he made a deal with him. Alexander Acosta, Donald Trump's current labor secretary. Gave Jeffrey Epstein the plea deal of all plea deals. There's never been a plea deal like this. Epstein ended up serving 13 months in a county jail, but he was allowed to leave the jail 6 days a week so that he could work at an office and whatever else he did. He also, now I never heard of anything like this. The plea deal shielded all other named and unnamed conspirators. All named and unnamed conspirators. Now, how is it that a judge and a pile of lawyers at a district attorney's office in Florida, Palm Beach, how is it that they could shield everyone who was involved with a guy who may have abused 1,000 underage girls? How is it that that deal is not a criminal offense in and of itself? It seems to me to be a criminal offense. It almost looks like a cover-up. It almost looks like, hold your breath, shock, it could be that Donald Trump's current labor secretary 14 years ago helped one of the world's most prolific child abusers cover up his crime. That's what it looks like. But does anybody seem to care? Nobody seems to care. I care. I want to thank Bob Enyart for covering this on the air. I might have missed it. It was kind of in the middle of the Drudge Report. You could have easily glanced over it and not even caught it. So anyway, it's shocking. So anyway, the Miami Herald does the big piece this past week. I'll link to it so you can read it. And Scaramucci comes up here. It's reported at the Hill. Scaramucci says, "This news is 14 years old, and it's surfacing now because Secretary Acosta is doing a good job for Donald Trump." That's what it is. So that's my Anthony Scaramucci. I actually don't know what he sounds like because whenever he comes on, I change the channel. I've never actually heard the man's voice. So anyway, why is this? How is this not the scandal du jour, at least, for the left? How is CNN not all over this 24/7? I mean, leaving aside the fact that George H.W. Bush assumed room temperature, approximately. Saturday did he die? Was it Friday? Anyways, it seems like a week. Anyway, how is it that they're not obsessed with this? Well, it's simple. It's because most of the leadership and the power people in Hollywood and in the Democrat Party were on Epstein's plane, or they were on his island. They are the unnamed conspirators that have been protected by this criminal deal that one of Donald Trump's favorite guys, possibly a candidate to be the attorney general, from what I hear. Possibly. He could be. He's Donald Trump's guy. Covered it up. They are the unnamed conspirators. And keep this in mind. Why aren't they going after Trump on this? They hate Trump. Anything they can do to get Trump, but it's radio silence when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, Alexander Acosta, and the cover-up of the unnamed conspirators. And it's because Trump, remember this, folks, I remember, Donald Trump was a fixture in the Democrat New York Hollywood axis of evil that was on Jeff Epstein's plane, that was on Jeffrey Epstein's island. And you know, the cover-up, this cover-up could be the genesis of all the conspiracy theories that all the rich and famous and powerful people, they're all members of a club that participates in serial child abuse. You've heard the, I forget what it's called, the pizza shop. Anyway, I'll bet this is the genesis of all that, is because they covered this up. And even though Donald Trump's name and phone number was in Jeffrey Epstein's black book, all of the unnamed conspirators at CNN and MSNBC and elsewhere have just chosen to go silent.
Floors, they get the spaces in between. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, 'cause I'm the next big thing.
I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you. Thank you for sticking with us as we move away from that very distasteful story. If you read the Miami Herald article about Jeffrey Epstein, some of the details, I mean, the article itself is borderline pornography just because it's reporting the facts of what this guy did. Not just this guy, by the way. This guy and all of his friends, who were Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, and it's just disgusting. So should we move on to what? So the calories. Okay, so I started counting calories. I've never concerned myself with what I ate in my whole life, ever. I've just ate. Is that bad grammar? I've just eaten. That's all I've done is I've eaten. I haven't thought about it. But I quit smoking. I quit smoking 6 months ago. I know, don't be shocked. A lot of you in the audience may not know that I was a smoker, but I was. 35 years, started smoking when I was about 14, 15, something like that. Anyway, I think I always had a positive association with cigarette smoke. Most people think it's disgusting and it smells bad. I always liked it. I think it's because when I was a little bitty child, you know, back then everybody smoked. Everybody smoked. So I think that as I was nestled in my mother's bosom, I smelled cigarette smoke. And so anyway, I never had a problem. So I quit smoking and I've gained an enormous amount of weight. Enormous, shocking amount of weight. And by the way, don't congratulate me for quitting smoking. It's not like I wanted to. It's that God took it from me. So yeah, now he didn't come down, and it wasn't like I had a moment or an epiphany or a vision or anything, not a dream, nothing like that. But if you've listened to the show, we tell you that God built judgment into the system. The way the world is built, if you do things that are unhealthy, eventually your health starts to deteriorate. And I got to the point where I just couldn't sleep at night because I wasn't breathing very well. And folks, when you lose your ability to breathe on a subconscious level, that gets your attention. I am living proof of my pastor's axiom that corporal punishment is an effective deterrent, because it worked on me. I think I tried 5 or 6 times over the course of my glorious, glamorous smoking career to stop smoking, but I never could until it hurt so bad I stopped. There you go. How about that, kiddo? Take that one. So anyway, now I'm getting fat. Quit smoking, start getting fat. It's like 6 of 1, 6 of 2 of the other. So anyway, now I'm on a diet. I'm supposed to lose 25 pounds in a year is the... And what's nice is there's an app for it now. You just plug it into your phone and it counts your calories. But I don't look at a pizza the same way anymore. I used to look at a pizza with a romantic, childlike, innocent love for pizza. Now I look at it and I know it's 6,000 calories is what it is. It's 6,000 calories. So gone are the days of innocence. They're lost. Those have been long spent. But wish me luck. I haven't gone to the gym yet. And I only run if I'm being chased. And I don't own a bicycle and I don't have a pool. So I haven't really mixed in the exercise yet, but that might be next. That'd be a shocking development. Shocking. Anyway, so, I know. It used to be a nice big Italian sub. No, now it's 2,600 calories. That's all it is. All right. Let's move on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get back to George H.W. Bush. We're not going to let him get away. We've already covered the French. Oh, and we have some other good stuff. But right now, I want to get to reason number 1,177 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Back in June, Heavers Farm Primary School organized a Proud to Be Me parade for its pupils. Did I say this was a primary school? It's a primary school. These are like 8, 9, 10 years old. Right? So the administration at the Heavers Farm Primary School organized the Proud to Be Me parade for its students to coincide, oddly enough, with Gay Pride Month, which is the month of June, which annoys me right there because it's the traditional month when normal people get married, but the homosexuals have, they've occupied it. They've commandeered the month of June, for crying out loud. Just like they did with the rainbow. They didn't have any right to that rainbow. A pile of perverts, but that's what they did. So anyway, the Heavers Farm Primary Schools organized a pride parade for their grade school kids. Right there, people should be arrested. But no, they're not arrested. What happened was a devout Christian, mom named Izzy, she got upset and she made an appointment at her son's school to discuss the gay pride march that the school insisted that her son was to march in. Just let that soak in for a second. Those of you who send your children to the government schools. Well, mom goes down to the school and she's confronted by a staff member. Staff as in Staphylococcus. Did you get that? I said Staphylococcus. She was approached by a Staphylococcus member wearing a t-shirt that said, quote, "Why be racist, sexist, homophobic, or transphobic when you could just be quiet?" Unquote. That was on the t-shirt of the school Staphylococcus member. At the meeting where mom was coming to complain about the whole gay pride parade. Well, she became so angry that she wrote a letter of complaint to the school. And the good news, if there is a silver lining to this dark story, she pulled her 5-year-old son out of the school. She's out. And she says, given the nature of my complaints, it was obviously a deliberate act to wear that t-shirt. I believe it was intended to belittle my views and intimidate me into silence. That's what mom felt when she walked in and the Staphylococcus member had the t-shirt right there in her face. Mom felt intimidated and as if she were being silenced. Well, congratulations, mom. Now you know how a Christian kid feels every day in the government schools. That's what you were putting your kid through every day. What you just walked into, the haymaker of hate, huh? That, yeah, a hate machine that they got running there at the grade school. You walked right into it, mom, and that's where you've been sending your kid for who knows how many years, and where you would have just sent your kid for the next 10 years or whatever. But thankfully, mom woke up and she pulled her kid out. She pulled her 5-year-old son out. Now, there's when you want to get kids out of the government schools at 5. That's when we decided at 5 that our children would start school, but not in the government schools.
Five.
Well, yeah, they start at 1. But officially, I mean, you know, a little more structure started around 5. So that's when we decided before our kids were born, actually. In fact, I remember sitting around with a friend of mine. Telling him, you know, we're going to homeschool our kids. We're trying to have a kid and we intend to homeschool him. He said, yeah. He said, call me in 15 years. Tell me how that worked out. I can't find the guy. I'd love to call him. Anyway, I'd love to call him up and tell him. Yeah, I did. I actually did it there. What was his name? Golly. Anyway, drunken Irish guy. Fun guy to be around at parties and stuff, but, let's see here. What was that? That was reason number 1,177 to get or keep your children out of the government schools is because the schools are just a dressed up pretty little hate machine. Hey, isn't that a song? Pretty Little Hate Machine? I think that's a song from the 80s. I'm going to look that up. Hold on. I'm making a note. All right. Yeah. I mean, your school might look good on the outside, right? It's probably a decent architecture, a very functional structure. The teachers all look clean cut, right? They all look like they have the best hopes and dreams for your child and that they want your child to be successful and grow up and have a great life. But they're a bunch of moral deviants. They're godless. They're dangerous. And there's a goodly percentage of them who at the very least want to psychologically rape your child, and at the very worst, well, you just, at the very worst, they do the real thing. That's all. And now speaking of, now this is in the homos make me sick file. I said homos make me sick. Does that shock you that I actually said that? Well, I said it. I have a file for it. Why? Because homos make me sick, all right? But this also could be reason number 1,178 to keep or get your children out of the government schools because it involves, well, let's just get to it. This is from the Idaho Statesman. This is in Idaho, folks, formerly the buckle of the Bible Belt in the Midwest there. But now Apple CEO and flaming open homosexual deviant pervert Tim Cook goes and tours the school there in Idaho. And he walks into the school and he says, "Who's the star of your movie?" What? Well, the kids had said, "We're making a movie. We're making a movie." And Tim Cook said, "Who's the star of your movie?" And the kids said, "You are!" And they all cheered. Who walked in behind Tim Cook? The open, flaming, deviant pervert who shouldn't be allowed around children, frankly. Ivanka Trump, she came in right behind him. Oh, did you forget that Ivanka and Donald Trump are lifelong Republicans who don't mind following a homo into a school to promote technology among school kids? Yeah. So the Idaho Statesman reports that sex pervert Tim Cook and Ivanka Trump embarked on a nearly one-hour-long tour of the school where they visited the kids. And they did all that and like that. So that's it. I mean, an aging homosexual creep is allowed to go in and tell the kids how great technology is, and nobody bats an eye. So some of the worst deviant perversion in the history of mankind is now so normal that they parade it in front of grade school kids as if it's something good. And that's scary. By the way, Ivanka Trump, this was just the latest in a series of tours that she's engaging in as part of her work with the National Council for the American Worker. National Council for the American Worker. This sounds like Division of Politburo, no? Shake your hand. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. Tim Cook was visiting the school, touring with she was interviewing and talking with children who Apple had given handheld devices. So if Apple donates handheld devices to your school, yeah, you're so beholden to him that you let their perverted CEO tours. It's just disgusting. All right. Just disgusting. All right. Let's see. I was going to say something else about the smoking. Oh, yeah. So there's a rule of thumb that I want to give advise anyone out there who's going to quit smoking. Don't tell anybody you quit smoking until you've quit for at least 6 months. Because a lot of times it just doesn't take. You know, I mean, this morning I was working on a project and I like reached for a cigarette. It's like bizarre.
You did?
I did. It's like it's wired into my DNA at this point. Anyway, and so I realize now that what I have been doing is stuffing food into my face is what I've been doing. Plus, I think it changes the whole physiology. So anyway. I think I'm a little slower on the uptake, though. I think I've lost a point or two in the wit department, sharpness and all that. I'm not as tense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. In fact, that brings up my other... I'm on a roll is what it is, folks. The reason I'm feeling so giddy, it's not just because it's the Christmas season, although I love that. I love the Christmas season. I love watching the whole world who ignores Jesus Christ all year. I love the fact that they're forced to at least admit that we all believe he exists for about a month between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love it. So I feel giddy around the holidays anyways, but I'm on a roll is what it is. So it started with my garage door. Okay, that's where the roll starts. So had a problem with the garage door. It's crooked, right? This happens to you, right? It happens over time. The earth shifts. The house shifts. Entropy occurs. And eventually your garage door gets crooked and then snow is blowing through, right? So you get up in the morning, you got a snowbank in the garage because the doors. So anyway, I bumped into my garage door guy. And I said, hey, garage door's even uneven. I need it straightened out. Maybe you can send a guy out. And he said something like, I'll try. I'm really busy. It's very busy, you know. I said, well, I could just YouTube it. Dead silence. Tim and his wife look at each other, roll their eyes. Oh, yeah, he's going to YouTube it. So the thing is, he's probably heard that 1,000 times from, you know, people who said, yeah, I YouTubed it. Could you come over? Because the door is now on my car. So I understand. But anyway, I had to buy a couple of tools. And then I watched a YouTube video on how to straighten out your garage door. And while the video does leave out some key points, some very important key points are left out of the video. If you're handy with a screwdriver or a pair of pliers and you buy the right tools, it can be done. And it was done. I did it. Not only did I do it and straighten out the door, but the door is, I tweaked it and it's almost silent now. It's a thing of beauty. It's a work of beauty. And I did it with it was me and my 11-year-old daughter. We're the primary actors on that particular project. And that was a lot of fun. And then now the door is just beautiful. And anyway, so I'm on a roll, right? I'm feeling good. So then I had an incredible success with a leaky dishwasher. Now that's a scary thing. Somebody says, hey, the dishwasher's leaking. I need it fixed. So if you're a landlord, you got to go fix it, right? Or you got to buy a. I'm thinking I'm going to have to buy a dishwasher. I'm going to have to call a technician. I don't know what's going to happen. So I go over and talked with the young man who's renting the place. He pays his rent on time all the time. He seems like a decent fellow. open up the dishwasher. Turns out it's leaking out the door is what he says. So right there, that's kind of a load off my mind. Because if it's back in the back, in the part where you can't see, that's when it's scary. It's the door. So I open up the door. There's a gasket. I say, okay, there's a rubber gasket. This must have something to do with the leak, right? Put two and two together. I didn't even watch YouTube on this one. I just looked at the situation. Pull out the rubber gasket out of its little groove. And I noticed that in the lower right-hand corner there is a large chunk of dried food. And I squeeze the gasket, and the gasket doesn't squeeze properly because of this large chunk of dried food. So it turns out the deal was this guy doesn't use his dishwasher because he's a single guy. He doesn't hardly even eat at home. But he got a girlfriend, see, and she came over. She's been doing some cooking. And the girlfriend wants a dishwasher. So he didn't even know that dried food has probably been in there since construction. Probably a construction worker's piece of his ham sandwich got stuck in there. That dishwasher hadn't even been used. And so anyway, I cleaned the chunk of dried food out of the gasket. I popped it back into its little thing. Boom, we ran the dishwasher and it worked. So I was like, high five, I'm out of here, man. This is beautiful. So not only that, I didn't get upset. I didn't get mad. I didn't throw anything around or anything like that. So then I'm feeling like, man, everything's going my way is the way it's feeling, right? So I went and put the gutters on the chicken buffet out there. I was at like confidence level 9 when I did that gutter job. I caulked that thing in. By the way, last weekend, I caulked every nook and cranny so that the water, not a drop of water is going to drop on one chicken's neck. That's not going to happen. And then And then today, because I was counting calories and I realized I have to burn some calories, so I put in a faucet and a trim kit in the bathroom. Well, oh, that's right. Yesterday, I'm really on a roll. I forgot about that. That's right. We did the we have a custom loafing shed for the goats, and we sealed it up in three corners. And then there's a loafing area alongside the goat's condo where we closed up one side, and we made a dual entryway for the goats. And we even moved their little goat mineral dish into the loafing area now. So because the Tennessee fainters, they don't get along with the Nigerian dwarfs. There's a bit of an issue. Okay, they're not best friends. At night, they won't. They go to their they go to their separate corners there. So we're hoping that'll work out. I told my extremely attractive audio engineer that it's just not cold enough yet. If it drops below zero, those goats are gonna be friends. I hope. So anyway, yeah, the goats and then the faucet and the trim kit today. Just a little minor customization was necessary, but I put it in without any bursts of anger, right? Mm-hmm. No outbursts, which if you've ever worked with me on a project in the past, anyway, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, mm-hmm. that I'm not as on edge. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it was the nicotine. I was on edge a little more, maybe it was the calories. Maybe I had a lot of extra calories, and part of the way I burned them was to just get upset, freak out, start screaming, throwing stuff. Well, anyway, so now here's the thing, folks. I've been informed by my auto mechanic that the rotors on my 2012 Camry are out of plumb. They're bent. They're warped. And so the whole car shakes. If you're driving in my car and we're going 70, and I hit the brakes, anything besides a tap, you think the whole car is going to shake itself apart. It's terrifying. I mean, it's scary. And I was like, Bert, I mean, I don't know what's going on, man. But he said, here's the deal. They're all out of plumb. They're warped. And then what happens is the brake pads now are shaped like the warped. So he said, all four wheels, all four rotors, they have to be replaced, and all the pads. And so I'm thinking to myself, hey, I'm on a roll. Maybe. Do you think four rotors on a 2012 Camry? You think, you know what? I'm not going to risk it. That's the thing. Because I'm feeling so good. You know, the thing is, a man's got to know his limitations. You don't want to take on a project that's too far above your pay scale. So I'll probably let the mechanic do the rotors. All four rotors. I said, that's got to cost a lot. He said, yeah, and he pulled out his book, and I said, no, don't. Don't tell me, because if you tell me, I probably I'll start thinking about not doing it. I said, next time I come in for an oil change, just do it. Hey, this mechanic, I'm telling you, I don't even worry this guy's going to rip me off. How long have we been going this mechanic? 10 years? He's never ripped us off, ever. So, and if you find one of those, that's something to find in life, I'll tell you what. All right, now, I need to get to the news. Let's see. Oh my goodness. The domestic tranquility file. We have a report from Midvale, Utah. Chelsea Cook taught health and yoga at Sky Ridge High School there in Lehi, Utah. That is until she shot and killed her ex-husband's girlfriend, last Sunday night. So she's no longer teaching health and yoga at Sky Ridge High School. Now she's in jail because of sexual immorality. Last week I gave an estimate about 15% of all murders are directly related to sexual immorality. So I was being conservative, I think. Anyway, so the school teacher, she shoots her ex-husband's girlfriend because why? Well, because of all of that. And then the high school, Sky Ridge High School, sent a letter home to students and parents. Here's what Sky Ridge High School had to say, quote, "This morning, one of our Sky Ridge teachers was arrested and charged with a serious crime. We want to help you process and provide any support you may need to anyone who may need support." This type of news is hard to comprehend, and we want you to know that teachers, counselors, and your parents can help support, can help provide support in this difficult time. And of course, when we say teachers, we're talking about teachers who haven't shot and killed anyone. These would be other teachers who would help to support you. And then, of course, there's counselors. And then, last but not least, if all else fails, you maybe possibly could consider maybe your parents.
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I wanna be there, yeah, in my city. Oh, 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 oh,
Now, did you ever see the video? Neil Sean had this giant poofy afro when he played that solo. I mean, that guy had an afro back before afros were cool. Actually, I think that was when afros were cool. That might be why afros were cool, at least on white dudes. That's the biggest afro I ever seen on a white guy. Man, that was something else. All right, now, we got to get to H.W. Bush, ladies and gentlemen, because there is going to be an awful lot of talk this week about the legacy of George H.W. Bush. I think that, who's that guy from Fox News on Sunday mornings? I forget his name. His father was on and now he's on. What's his name? Wallace. Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace says George H.W. Bush may be the greatest living American. The greatest. He's not just a great American, he's the greatest. We've lost quite possibly the greatest living American from the greatest generation. So he actually said that this morning, Chris Wallace. Yeah, Chris Wallace says that. So now, I have never been a big fan of George H.W. Bush. And in fact, the Bush dynasty is the reason. It's the number one reason that Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Is because they were going to run another Bush. Right? Remember? The soft, mushy one. Whichever, I don't even know his name. Chad, Jeff, I forget. Jeb. Well, anyway, he was the soft, mushy one, right? So everybody was sick of that. And so what do we end up with? We end up with a bozo reality star who used to fly around on Jeffrey Epstein's plane and said one time in an interview, you know, Jeff's a great guy. He loves beautiful women, although his are on the younger side. Donald Trump actually said that. And Franklin Graham doesn't care. And who's the other one? Junior, the other? Anyway, the evangelicals, they don't care. But let's get back to George H.W. Bush. What is the legacy of George H.W. Bush, in my opinion? Number one, George H.W. Bush and Dan Quayle were the first occupants of the White House to invite a pile of homosexuals to an official event as official homos. That's right. He invited the log cabin Republicans, which is a pile associated with the Republican Party. So their name implies that Abraham Lincoln was a homo, the log cabin Republican. Now, Abraham Lincoln, now if you're my age, when you think of Abraham Lincoln and the log cabin, you think of he educated himself in a log cabin until he was able to pass the bar. That's what you think about when you hear about the log cabin. Now, for generations to come, log cabin will be associated with Abraham Lincoln was obviously a closeted homosexual. That's what. So thank you, George H.W. Bush, for inviting the log cabin Republicans to defile the White House and to defile the memory and honor of Abraham Lincoln. That's your legacy. Well, that's just the first. George H.W. Bush's biggest legacy is that he can legitimately be called the father of 100 million murdered children. That's his biggest legacy. Because George H.W. Bush, when he was in the Congress in the 70s, he wrote and sponsored Title 10. Do you know what Title 10 is? Family planning. George H.W. Bush is the father of government-funded child killing. It was his idea. It was his family's idea. And he co-sponsored Title 10, and he worked to get it passed. And now we're at 66 million and counting just here in the United States. You see, when the United States started paying to kill children, it influenced other countries around the world as well who hadn't done it. And so George H.W. Bush is the father of 100 million dead kids. That's what, 100 million dead babies. That is George H.W. Bush's longest lasting legacy. And you know what's interesting? On Judgment Day, he's going to meet him. He's going to meet him on Judgment Day. That's where is George? You know what George H.W. Bush said to his friend Baker, Jim Baker, who was with H.W. when he died, or in the days leading up to his death? George H.W. Bush said, I want to go. Where do you want to go? Said Baker. I want to go to heaven. Oh, no, I think I got it wrong. H.W. said, where are we going, Bake? I guess that was their custom because they're such good buddies. And Bake said, where do you want to go? And H.W. said, I want to go to heaven. And Baker said, that's where we're going. Well, we'll find out, won't we, on the other side. Because I myself, personally, I have my doubts that H.W. Bush got into heaven. But we'll see. All right. I am not a fan of the Bushes, nor am I going to act like I'm a fan just because he's going to be lying in state. You people already know my opinion of lying in state. I think it's a bit gauche. It's something that a Bush would do, though, right? All right. Meanwhile, in the decline and fall file, we go to California, where the End of Life Option Act has won a court decision. Advocates are buoyed, it says. It's an assisted suicide. Oh, I didn't say that because the Freudian, not the Freudian title. What am I going for here? 1984, the Orwellian title, the End of Life Option Act. You know, there aren't a lot of options. So what do we all want in life? We want options. So this is all dressed up. This is all dressed up to look like, but what it is, it's so doctors can kill old sick people who are no longer wanted by their families. That's what this is, folks. And they passed some court ruling. I don't want to get into the details. I'm not a proctor. I don't work for the proctocracy, so I can't analyze all the legal ins and outs. I'll post a link if you want to. Anyway, the End of Life Options Act won a big court ruling, and advocates are buoyed. They're buoyed. Their spirits are buoyed. How is it that a suicide advocate can have buoyed spirits? I would think that you're generally a depressed, miserable human being. After all, you're an advocate of suicide. Or in this case, well, let me read the article. We have a quote here from a supporter, a doctor who supports killing sick people and calling it assisted suicide. The doctor says, quote, our patients will be tremendously relieved. Thousands across the state will find great solace in knowing that this option is there for them. That was my Dracula impression.
I'm sorry.
So that's what Count Dracula, Dr. Sundquist Forrest there, a family practice doctor who has six terminally ill patients that she'd like to kill, and she's happy that she might have the opportunity to kill them legally here soon. This court ruling... it could set the stage for future legal actions. This is probably not the last word on the End of Life Option Act. Of course it's not the last word. We've got a bunch of lawyers who are going to make bank on this before the deranged leftists start actually killing people. So this is a twofer for the leftist lawyers out in California. They get to make a ton of money, and at the end of the day, they get to participate in killing old sick people. What could a lawyer want more? Now, the Life Legal Defense Foundation, they're upset. Now, I don't know why they're upset, because they advocate, they are part of the pro-life industry, who now only advocate against late-term abortion. Late-term abortion. Late-term abortion. They were big fans of the 20-week heartbeat bill. You remember that was the pro-life legislation that said you can kill babies up until 20 weeks, but after that, we're going to pass some rules that make it a little bit more difficult for you to kill kids who are older than that. And if you violate any of our rules, we're going to get really upset about it. We might even investigate. There could be a fine, possibly. I mean, you'd have to really violate the rules, but we want to be clear that up until 20 weeks, just, you know, kill them, whatever. We're talking about late-term abortion. So Life Legal Defense Foundation, they draw the line at 20 weeks for killing children. And so I don't know where they get the idea that they get to draw a line anywhere else after that. I mean, once you've drawn that line, you've pretty much eliminated yourself from being qualified from participating in the debate any further. But they're upset now that in California, the maniacal left wants to murder old people. And so here is the boilerplate statement from the Life Legal Defense Foundation, which is a fundraising racket, in my opinion. They say, quote, assisted suicide is not health care. You know, I just have to stop right there. I'm not going to read any more of this. First of all, you geniuses at Life Legal Defense Foundation, assisted suicide isn't suicide. Huh? How about that? It's murder. So I already said you were disqualified. Why did you open your mouth? Now it's obvious to everyone that you're disqualified. Assisted suicide isn't even suicide. It's murder. It's like killing an 18-week-old fetus intentionally. It's murder is what it is. And in California, the decline and fall file, we have now we have a quote here from the maniacal left. Uh-huh. That's a group who's supporting the bill. Their attorney, he's an attorney for Compassion and Choices. Compassion and Choices is what their lawyer says, quote, people are hell-bent on depriving Californians of a peaceful death, free of unbearable suffering. And then they reminded him, well, we won the court thing today. I'm still upset. These damn Christians are hell-bent on depriving Californians. That's unbearable suffering. Anyway, they calmed him down after a while. He's winning, by the way, at least in a secular temporal sense. From Oregon Live says that the District of Columbia and six other states, Oregon, Colorado, Montana, Vermont, Washington, and Hawaii, already allow the murder of old people as long as everyone assumes that the old person has consented to it. And we're not going to look that closely at it, to be honest with you. I mean, we don't want to make anybody's life too complicated. All right. So there's the California. What do we have? Oh, here we go, folks. So if it's the joyous holiday season, I don't want to depress anybody. But the U.S. Census Bureau says that old people will outnumber children for the first time in American history, probably by 2030, as baby boomers will be over 65, and one in every five Americans will be retirement age. And since the young kids aren't having babies hardly anymore, I mean, there are a few, but there's not enough. The old people are going to outnumber children. And the Census Bureau says, just to add insult to injury, deaths will rise substantially between 2020 and 2050 as a large segment of the population gets old and dies. America will become more racially and ethnically diverse as well. Okay, well, who cares about that? Oh, that's right. That's why they did the story, so that they could bring out the race issue and just beat us over the head with it again. Another smack in the teeth with the racial billy club that we get every time you open the newspaper. You read an article on demographics, they want to hammer home the point that the white people are no longer going to be the majority, and that's supposed to bother me. I could care less. I could care less if I'm not in the majority. I'm already in the minority. I'm a Christian, so I'm used to being in the minority. It doesn't scare me that America's going to turn brown and yellow and black. That doesn't bother me. I'm not going to get upset about it. But they want me to, and they want you to. And so I'm just here to tell you, calm down. All right, now, let's go, finally, from the holiday cheer file. Yes? Are you looking for some holiday cheer? Well, we've got a new report, a white paper from the military, stating that an electromagnetic spectrum attack could wipe out just about everything. Just an EMP or a solar storm would result in 90% of the population on the East Coast would die within a year. Merry Christmas! Let's see. Could wipe out democracy, they say. An EMP, well, if everyone's dead, I mean, that is the most effective form of voter suppression, right? Is to kill everybody, and then nobody votes. Oh, that would be terrible. We'd lose democracy. Why? Oh, because everyone was vaporized. Oh. Anyway, so they say that if there was an electromagnetic pulse attack that knocked out all the electronics, it would look pretty ugly, folks. 90 nuclear reactors would melt down. 4.1 million people would be displaced. Jets would fall from the sky. Power and GPS would go dark. Civil unrest would begin within hours. And they say, there would be the loss of sewage, fresh water, banking, landlines, cellular service, vehicles, and democracy. No voting. And they say, finally, it would take 18 months to replace key elements of the electric grid that would be damaged or not. See, now that's the part. All this other stuff, I mean, I'm willing to entertain that an EMP would be an ugly thing, if anyone can even pull it off, which I don't think anybody can really pull it off. But this idea that it would take 18 months to replace key elements of the electrical grid, I'm sorry. This is America. It would not take 18 months. It would take, we would start getting power back online within 3 weeks. I don't care what Alibaba does, or the Iranians, or the Russians, or the Chinese, or that crazy fat idiot in North Korea. It doesn't matter. 3 weeks, and the power would start coming on. Why? Because this is America. That's why. We're not. All right, I guess that's it then. Well, I hope you have a wonderful, merry holiday season now that I've told you about the electromagnetic. What do I have? Oh, Fareed Zakaria. Are you familiar with Fareed Zakaria? CNN? He has an article, Are We at Peak America? Remember peak oil? Right? Now he's, Are We at Peak America? Hey, Fareed! A peak America? No, we're not in peak America. That would have been like around 1972. That was. Get with it, Fareed, please. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at AmericanRightToLife.com, at KGOV.com, and, of course, I want to thank my other brother, Daryl. He makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studios. And should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.